am what the Bible says I am. I can do what the Bible says I can do. I have what the Bible says I have. But I have to, by faith, put these words in my heart and in my mouth and realize that they belong to me already. That's what these covenants do. That's the reason blood is involved in it. It's as serious as you can get. Mm. And that these kind of things are still happening today in the world.
Yes, sir.
Now, the devil's form of it is voodoo, where you use the blood of animals and you get into this wild demonic state, and then you enter into blood covenants with a priest and all that kind of thing, and get into a place where you do things you swore you never do.
Yeah.
It's
perversion.
Perversion.
Yeah.
So
Jesus is the Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's a faith covenant,
yes,
this new covenant.
Yes, it is.
It's a love covenant, this new covenant. It's Jesus. And it's all about him.
And it's a covenant of purity.
Yes.
Through the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
Now, go to what you're talking about here.
In the God, the Covenant, and the Contradiction book, which is out this week for worldwide, there are segments in here that I think you're really going to like. They're called Going Deeper.
Yes.
There's Going Deeper with Kenneth. I didn't even sound right me say that. Going Deeper with Brother Copeland and Going Deeper with Greg. And in these segments, it's after a covenant teaching. It goes a little deeper for you. If you're a minister, you want to get those because some of them are actually little outlines. I had a problem years ago wondering, why didn't God just intervene? After he made Adam and knew what was going to happen, why didn't he just save a whole lot of heartache on himself and us and just intervene? And then I got my answer. I went to Genesis 1:28. I'll read it right out of page 72 with Going Deeper with Greg. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And I said, there's the answer. Subdue the earth, have dominion over every living thing. The moment God spoke those words to the first Adam, he released into him the ability to overcome Lucifer and everything.
Everything.
He had it all.
Yes.
But he didn't honor, and that's where he got mistake. All earthly authority had been deposited into him. God couldn't do anything at that point. It had been done. So now this second Adam comes along. We need a new one to come. He had to be pure of the curse, meaning it had to be a virgin birth. So God's going to reveal things all the way through as to who this person will be. He'll be the seed of Abraham. He'll come from Rahab. He'll come from David.
And the process has to be done through men,
absolutely.
Through people.
So God, it has to become man.
Jesus, there is no way that God could just order him to go to hell. Mm-hmm. No. It had to come through a prophet, which was David.
That's right.
That prophesied in the 22nd Psalm, which big starts with, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And ends with, it is finished. That had to be in the earth before God could bring it to pass. So everything had to be prophesied over here and get that special child, Isaac, in here so the special child, Jesus, could be here.
That's right. That's exactly right. So the Bible is not a series of stories. And I think sometimes we've done a disservice to children and we taught them Bible stories. They're not stories. They're all interconnected. They're all part of a plan. They're all part of this line to get us to where you are today, that you literally can walk in the covenant that God made with Abraham. Mm-hmm. You can literally be in the covenant that was in Eden now. And it's only done in Christ. This is why you got to know who you are in Christ.
Right.
You have to know the authority of the believer. You have to use your faith for your position. In the back on page 74 of this Going Deeper, and there's a lot of verses here, the God, Covenant, the Contradiction, we make a contrast of the first and the second Adam. Okay. If I do, well, I'll go ahead and do it. The microphone's sitting right here. Whatever the time is on the recording of this, audio engineer, be prepared. I just did it. I hit that microphone. On every recording that you dub off of this, every place where I hit that microphone,
it's there.
It's there. So when Adam did that, every generation born after him had the flaw at the exact same point.
That's right.
Because we were mastered in Adam. In order to do that, the engineers would have to get rid of that where I hit the microphone. I apologize. In order to get rid of that, they have to remaster it.
You've remastered. If they could get rid of it.
If you can. So you have to remaster a record album to get all the scratches and the pops out of it. That's all Jesus did. He remastered us into the image that God made for us. And this is why in Corinthians it says that God was reconciling the world unto himself while Jesus was on the cross, not imputing their trespasses against them. Glory to God. And that's exactly what happened. I've been remastered in Christ Jesus. Now I got to use my faith for that.
That's right.
And I ought to be able to see some fruit of that. There ought to be some love come out of me. My words ought to be different. And so that's going through that checklist of this covenant. When you begin to understand that in John, and I think it's interesting that it's in John, Jesus will have seven I am declarations where he says, I am the bread, John chapter 6. I am the light, John chapter 8. I am the door, John chapter 10. I am the good shepherd, again in John chapter 10. I am the resurrection and the life in John chapter 11. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John chapter 14. And I am the vine in John chapter 15. So everything we do now in this new covenant, this is why your new covenant is better. It's so much better. This is why I have a big arrow in my Bible. Yeah. Look here, is because I've been grafted into this life that Adam had when you saw the vision of him being picked up and God breathing into it. See, now God has breathed into me by his spirit and I've become a new creation that never existed before. This is the glory of the new birth. And this is who I am. So it's all right here where the first Adam failed, the second Adam finished it. John chapter 19. God's grace is greater than the first Adam's sin, Romans chapter 5. Pastors, are you listening? get the book just for that outline right there. Death came through the first Adam. Life came through the second Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. The first Adam became a living soul, but the second Adam became a life-giving spirit. So this is your total identification in him. This is why, Brother Copeland, I claim, whenever I need to claim something, I claim covenant rights.
Oh, I do too.
I have covenant right with you. And now, that involves a bunch of other stuff. And I know people that claim tithers' rights. That involves that. But covenant is the main one because I'm in Christ. Mm-hmm. And when I'm in Christ, I am now Abraham's
seed. You know what happens when you plead the blood.
That's it.
It's ever blood covenant ratified in the name of Jesus.
All of them. And the type and shadows.
Faith in
to the real one.
Yes.
And God committed himself a long time ago with Abraham when he was going to kill Isaac, and he stopped him. And Abraham is the one that put the demand on that covenant agreement. God himself will provide. And he did.
Yes, sir.
And his name is Jesus. And if you don't know him, you should.
Oh, man.
Because he is all of these things.
He's done everything except pray your prayer.
Yeah.
He can't pray it for you. He intercedes every day. But he cannot make your choice.
This new covenant.
That goes back to Genesis 1.
Yes. Is irrevocable. Satan can't touch it. But it is not unconditional.
That's right.
There's a condition to this life, and that's accepting it and receiving it and then operating by faith. In this, the second Adam tasted death for every man. Hebrews chapter 2. I do not fear death now.
Mm-hmm. Now, if he tasted death for me, then I can't taste it when I die.
Yes, sir.
I can't smell it when I die.
Nope.
I can't see it when I die. Nope. I can't hear it when I die, and I can't feel it.
That's correct.
And I didn't just make that up. Mm-mm. Bob DeWeese was the man captain of the airplane when I was the co-pilot on that Lockheed PV-2 Ventura that had been civilianized. It was a medium bomber for the Navy during World War II. He had a heart attack on the handball court. And then he was telling, he and Charlotte, his wife, was telling Gloria and me about it. He said, I have no memory of a heart attack at all. None. He said, it's not in my memory right now. He said, suddenly I was in a place I didn't know. And he said, it was this beautiful road, the most lush and the greenest places. And he said, Kenneth, there was so much power in my legs. He said, see, he was not aware he didn't have a body. Mm-hmm. He said, and I saw the lights of the city, and he said, I'm home. And he said, but I began to bog down, and I couldn't go anymore. And he said, all of a sudden, I heard somebody hollering the name of Jesus. And he said, I was back in the city of faith, and I was back in the pain again. Mm. And Charlotte said, would you like for me to tell you what he said? Did he say, Charlotte, thank you for saving my life? No. He said, Charlotte, what did you do that for? But it pulled on him the rest of his life. Mm. Jesus tasted death for him.
Yes, he did.
Immediately he was in heaven and knew it. Now, in these last few minutes, now you were saying we put our names in there. Remember, the Apostle Paul said, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
He is in here. That faith works by love. I began to do this. He just finished teaching on the nine, quote, gifts of the Spirit.
Yes, sir.
Or the nine manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And concerning supernatural ministry, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, gifts of healings, and discerning of spirits. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far than the highest of them all, love. Now, let's go over here. At the 13th verse of the 13th chapter, there now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Now, listen to this in the Classic Amplified. If you begin up here at the top, if I can speak in tongues of men and even of angels and have not love, that spiritual devotion such as inspired by God's love in us, I'm only a noisy gong. If you study this, the Spirit of God through him revealed these ministry gifts. But now, when you take love out of it, it's over with. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. Love endures long. The King James says charity. But it's agape love in Greek. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own right or in its own way, for it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails, never fades out or becomes obsolete or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of inspiring and divine, it will be fulfilled and pass away. He's not talking about a time now.
Mm-hmm. Future.
We're talking about the millennial, right? Yeah, you don't need that anymore.
That's right.
So I started to do this because Gloria memorized it. I endure long, I'm patient and kind. I am never envious nor boil over with jealousy. I'm not boastful or vainglorious. I do not display myself haughtily. I'm not conceited and arrogant and inflated with pride. I'm not rude or unmannerly. I do not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in me, does not insist on its own rights. I don't insist then on my own rights or my own way. I'm not self-seeking. I'm not touchy or fretful or resentful. I take no account of evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. I do not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but I rejoice when right and truth prevail. I bear up under anything and everything that comes. I'm ever ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. I endure everything without weakening. I never fail, and I never fade out or become obsolete. Well, I've been doing that a long time. And now I'm closer to 87 than I am 86. And I'm not obsolete yet.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm in the best physical condition I've ever been in my life.
Thank you, Father.
I'm inquiring of God before I do or go anywhere.
Amen.
You know, I started wanting to go to Israel, and I talked to you about it,
yes,
and
sir.
Got everything going. And I thought, wait a minute here. I am supposed to do that. But I jumped the gun. I got out ahead of God. And it's growing in me again. But now I'm beginning to see the plans in my spirit and how to go about this.
Amen. Well,
and how to do it.
It won't be an Ishmael then.
That's right. Yes. His plan. It'd
be his plan.
He said, I know my plans for you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's a learning.
It's part of that heavenly vision.
Yes, sir. It's this, what you see, what I look at right here, this is first Adam. I got this from the first Adam.
That's right.
My spirit man, which you cannot see, I got from the second Adam. Mm. Mm. So that second Adam lives inside me, inside this first Adam. There's coming a day, Brother Copeland, and we're one day closer to
That's
it.
That's right.
When this mortal will put off
That's
this.
Right. Glory to God.
And I don't know what I'll be like, but I know this, when I see him, I'll be like him.
Yeah. Yes. Yep.
Where I'll have a glorified physical body. We'll be like Adam was.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes. And the covenants are the
way that he got us. I dream about it. I think about
it. Amen. Amen.
I woke up in a dream, and it became a vision, and I was just laying there praying in the spirit, and I saw myself. And with a very, very, very good friend. And we were flying an airplane. Hmm. And he turned around and looked at me. And he said, wouldn't it have been wonderful when we were on the earth to have known the things that we know now? Because we were able to give the devil a bad time then. If we had known all this. Mm-hmm. And the two of us were in an airplane flying.
Hmm.
There'll never be a time that I don't know how to fly.
Of course not.
And when I found out that the Lord didn't want me flying for the government or anybody else, he made the statement. He said, now, you're flying for me now. And there's going to be some changes made around here about the way you keep the cockpit and the way you plan things. He said, you clean that mess up. He said, you got charts all over the floor. And if you're just repositioning the airplane, like, say, I'm going from our airport to Meacham or from Alliance over to Meacham or someplace, he said, you plan it. Don't just go out there from memory. You take that checklist out and you follow it. When you fly over there, you get back in it and you follow it when you fly back. And it's only 13 miles. That thing can kill you in 13 miles the same as it can in 200 miles.
Yes, it can.
Amen.
And he said, you're flying for me now.
Well, it's in him we move and live and have our being. Everything we do ought to be that way. It ought to be in him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Can I read one verse here?
Please do.
And Philippians chapter 3, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned into his like his glorious body according to the working whereas he's able to subdue all things into himself. I'm looking forward to the day, Brother Copeland, when my spirit and my body match one another.
Yes.
And created into his image.
Yes, glory Amen. To God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
That's our hope. That's our down payment. That's our promise of our new covenant. That's the seal of our new covenant. We're sealed by the Spirit, knowing that our spirit man, our fleshly man, our earthly man, will be like our spirit man. That's why the new covenant is so much better.
Now, the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony, and we're out of time. Developing from to open their eyes, from turn them from darkness to light, from power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified. But and whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, the heavenly plan.
Get a vision.
I am not disobedient to that heavenly plan.
Amen.
And I have to do these things that are in behalf of it. I have to stay in love. I have to stay in this book.
Yeah.
And I have to read it and live it and love it. And I have to listen to other men and women. Glory to God. And when I get on the treadmill, well, of course, I watch Healing School.
Amen.
With Gloria Jean.
Yes, amen.
And we're out here. Goodbye. No, we'll be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Larry Warren. God wants you blessed. It's his desire that you live in power to prosper in every area of life, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. He is giving you covenant promises in his word that guarantee your right to experience the blessing every day. Now, when you choose to step out in faith and follow the instructions in his covenant promises, then we will receive the goodness of God that he wants us to enjoy. Now, let's take a look at one of the promises he has given us for financial prosperity. In Galatians 6, verses 6 through 8, it says, let him who is taught in the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. You can't cheat God. Whatever a man sows, that is what he will reap. He who sows to the flesh will reap the corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. This scripture is telling us that when we sow or invest into the lives of those who work to spread the good news of God's kingdom, then God is bound by his covenant to you to make sure you receive an abundant financial harvest. Today is offering day on the broadcast, and we would like to give you an opportunity to invest into the work of God's kingdom. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is good ground to invest your seed. Every financial seed KCM receives is prayed over and put into the work of spreading the good news. Partners and friends, Kenneth and Gloria are so thankful for every seed you invest into KCM. Your financial support and prayers have helped us reach people from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Together with you, we are preaching the good news of God's kingdom on every available voice to all who will receive it. Let me pray over your offering. Let's agree together for your abundant harvest. Father, on behalf of the Lord Jesus, your anointed one, and by his anointing, I bless those who've responded to this opportunity to sow. And I speak over their harvest, saying every good thing that they've done is coming back to them by the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus, the Lion and the Lamb, 100-fold. Amen and amen.
These are the truths and the ways of life. I was honored and privileged to have had the message in Pat Robertson's homegoing. A life, 93 years old. It's the way of life. And I was with him just moments before he left this earth. And you can tell by the man's first words, he didn't say, thank you for coming. He caught me by the lapels of my shirt, coat, and he said, Kenneth, I love you so. I just love you. Mm. And thank you for coming. Mm. A love man.
Love.
Jesus is our love man.
Yes.
So don't you ever forget this. God loves you. I don't care who you are. Read the prayer he prayed in the 17th chapter of John. God loves you as much as he does Jesus. Amen. Amen. And we love you. And the only way we can do that is because Jesus is Lord.
Yes, he is.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God forevermore.
Find out more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith. Visit our website, kcm.org.uk.